Good morning. I'm glad that you're here. Happy Mother's Day to our moms and our women. We just appreciate all the women of Faith Church, all that they do. I know that next week we have Candace's graduation out at Vesper Hills. So don't forget, come out and help us celebrate Candace's graduation from OSU University. We're going to have a great time. She put something on Facebook about how we're probably getting tired of hearing about her graduating. And I thought, that is not true. We celebrate with you. We're so proud of her. I know she starts her new job or has started her new job. So keep Candace in your prayers. Sally Shaw, pray for Sally. She's sick this week. And again, and the sickness has hit hard with some people. So pray for Sally and continue to pray for Peggy Moore. And we also, honoring our women and our moms, have flowers that we'll give out to you after communion towards the end of our service. We thank the Evans family for helping us with those. Yes, thank you very much. I go back to work on Monday. Part-time, so pray for me. When we started doing the little dialogues with the chairs through Lent, like, I didn't think that one Sunday I'd need it, but it's just here just in case. So if I sit down, please don't be offended. But yeah, so, and we've had a crazy week. Pray for Grant. He had a kidney stone. We were back at the hospital. Poor David. He said something yesterday about, he's like, I just feel tired, not like sleep tired, but my body just feels tired. I said, well, that's because we've been at the hospital so many times the past 2 weeks. But hopefully Grant has his foot surgery scheduled for the 31st. We need to get this pesky kidney stone taken care of because I know that I don't want to run to the hospital with that child in a cast and he can't put weight on his foot. So hopefully he'll pass it and we don't have to worry about it. Yes, Tina. We're happy Tina's here with us this morning. Yes, my best. What'd you say, sweetheart? Yes, some special prayers for Tina. She's going through some things. And we just need to cover her with our love and lift her up. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are there any other prayer requests? Any other announcements that I may have missed? Yeah. Healing and prayer. Okay, pray for Minnie. And yeah, go ahead. Jennifer Hicks. Yes. Yes, special prayers for Rachel. She's having a lot of swelling in her legs and she's, is it a disc? Yeah, she's having some back trouble, so pray for her. Yes. Yeah. That's a great, great praise. Awesome praise. Hey, I've got my days all, I don't know what day it is, so it's fine. The whole important thing is that you're cancer-free. Prayers for Marcia. Yeah. And Makai, we have a special 10-year-old here this morning. I'm going to say happy birthday to Makai. Oh, to be 10 again. You want to sing happy birthday to Makai? We'll sing happy birthday to him. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. He made sure that was the first thing he told me this morning. And then he told me happy Mother's Day. So, but Psalm 36 says, how precious is your steadfast love, O God. All people may take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They feast on the abundance of your house, and you give them drink from the river of your delights. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Amen. And that's going to be kind of a theme for today, is living water, just so you know where we're going. Amen. Living water. I told April that I would do the scriptures ahead of time. So we're going to start in Numbers, just so you know where we're going to go. Numbers 21 is where we'll start this morning, just so you can get ready for it. But let us pray and prepare our hearts, our minds, for worship this morning. Gracious and faithful God, when we come into your presence today with hearts, we're thirsty for your spirit. Our souls are longing for your grace. And it says in your word that you are our shepherd, our provider, and our living water, the one who leads us beside those still quiet waters, and you restore our soul. And as we worship you this morning, Lord, I know that we come into this place, some of us with dry places, and I pray that we could drink your mercy, drink your grace for restoration. And with that dryness sometimes, Lord, the dryness sometimes causes hardness. And we have to watch that hardness of our heart, because it says in your word that, you know, we got to protect our heart because everything flows from it. So soften it. Allow your words to penetrate our heart this morning, Lord, that we can consecrate our heart before you and that you will soften it. And we give you thanks. Prepare us in this time, this morning, as we are going to share communion with one another, share communion with your Son, Jesus Christ, at the table of grace that you had prepared before us to celebrate the promise of abundant life, redemption, and forgiveness through his name. And we give thanks for all the women, the mothers, the mentors, the friends that nurture us, that pray over us, that teach us, and that reflect your tenderness and strength in this church. And Holy Spirit, we ask for your presence. Spring up within us through this time of worship and praise. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. What's praise, church? Praise isn't quiet. So now is not the time. Now is not the time for you to be quiet. It is the time to praise our Lord. Amen. Amen. Sing it like you mean it.
Our greeting today is taken from 1 John 5:14-15. And we are confident that he hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases him. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we ask for. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come today on this Mother's Day thanking you for all that you do for us, for giving us mothers in our lives, whether there are biological mothers or whether they are adopted mothers or whether they are just women of this church who support you in all the things that you do. As you grow up, you understand things. You understand the nurturing. We understand all that you give to us because it's in your love that you gave it all. So this day we ask you to bless these gifts. Allow it to reach out and touch someone in your name so that we can share your word with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's amazing how this praise band puts up with me, because I seem to just jump into things and not the way it's always supposed to be, but they kind of look at me and then just jump in and follow. So that's the way it is. Happy Mother's Day. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. You know, I told you I look at things around the church, and not everybody can see and read, and I just happened to see this up here called a Mother's Day Prayer, and I thought it was appropriate And so I thought I would share it with you, since not all of you can get up here and see this and read it. So it goes like this. Lord, we pray for all mothers. Beautiful and wonderful, they fill the earth. Gracious in your call, they carry life. In a bond of love, they bring forth a child. We ask you to bless all mothers today. May they feel the joys of motherhood every day. In all their struggles, giving us a livelihood. May your love and compassion be with them for good. May every mother feel today the pride and beauty of a family that they bear. Through all pain and sorrow, Lord, deliver them in your strength and grace. May they always stay. Amen. Mothers are a gift from God to all of us. I know I can't say that everybody always had great mothers, but you know what? There are people in this congregation, there are people in this world that will reach out as a mother that maybe you never had, can guide you and direct you, can give you their love and share that with you. So thank you, mothers, for all that you do. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to give us direction this week. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Where'd that voice come from? Amen. Wow. I don't even know what it said. Does anybody know what it said? But you know what? Transform us to be more like Christ. Amen.
Amen. So we're going to start in Numbers 21, and then we'll go to Psalm 23. A lot of you know Psalm 23. A lot of you may have it memorized. Then we're going to go to the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 10. Just so you have a blueprint of where we're going, because I did not get the scriptures to April in time, and I apologize. So, but we're going to talk this morning about, we have a hymn, an old hymn that we used to sing, "Spring up, O well, within my soul. Spring up, O well, within my soul." And that's what we're talking about, living water this morning. Communion Sunday, a time when we gather around the table of grace, we pause, and that living water. And let's talk about water, the force of water. Have you ever experienced the force of water? I mean, we've had flooding. It's not still water. Living water isn't that stagnant, still water. But water moves. Water's meant to move. It flows. And water doesn't give up, does it? Like when it hits something hard, it's going to go, eventually, it's going to wear it down and it's going to make a way right through it. And you think when you first see like that the little stream, water can look weak, can it? That trickle, weaving its way through the cracks of the stone. But when we know that as we give it time, that trickle becomes a groove. It becomes a path. It becomes a channel. And eventually the water carves out canyons, like the Grand Canyon, that marvelous like work of God's wonder. Water, living force water, did that. That what could have been just a little trickle. And that little drip that comes from your faucet, it's going to make a difference on your water bill. That forceful explosion, but the relentless movement of water. And it doesn't wait for an open door. It creates one. It moves through the, like we said, the hardest places, even places that seem impossible, and it breaks through. And one of the driest places on earth, I'm going to see if I can say it right, Atacama Desert in Chile. It's the driest place on earth. And it goes with decades without getting rain. Decades without getting rain. And it's so dry that NASA has used it as a stand-in for testing Mars exploration and equipment. That's how dry it is. But every few years, something miraculous happens, and it rains. And when it does, something hidden beneath the hard, dry, cracked earth springs up life. So after decades of it being so dry, it looks dead, it looks deserted, it rains and life comes. Over 200 species of wildflowers that have laid dormant as seeds under that soil for decades suddenly burst up out of that soil. And this colorful, they're purple, shades of white. It's gorgeous. And you would never have believed that you would have described that place as the driest, deadest place on earth. The whole desert sings because water touched it. It was just a touch. And isn't that what we get from the gospel of Jesus Christ? I love that. Where he is our source of living water that flows, and what was once dead is now alive. Once our hearts was hard and dry, our life was hard and dry. And the good news of the gospel just comes in like a force of that trickle sometimes. And sometimes it's more than a trickle. Sometimes he opens up those flood doors and bam, he's coming in. I love that. And that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, the living water pours into the driest places of our lives. And suddenly what looked lifeless begins to bloom. What seemed stuck, broken, hard, helpless is stirred up. And the seeds in the desert were already there. Decades, just sitting, waiting. And maybe you do feel like that desert, the driest place on earth. Maybe you're going through the driest part of your life. Or maybe someone you love is going through that hard time, but the ground looks dry, loveless, lifeless. And the word of God says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. That's from Isaiah 44. And when we cry out, spring up, O well, within my soul, we're not just asking for that small refreshment, we're asking for that transformation, where that little trickle makes grooves and a path. And we can't underestimate the power of living water. It blooms in deserts. It carves out canyons. And it says, Jesus, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And that is the living water of Christ. That's what the living water of Christ does. When we might feel dry, we might feel stuck, we might feel callous, but when his spirit flows, when the Holy Spirit flows, the power of Christ carves the way through our resistance, because sometimes I throw spiritual fits. I don't know about you, but I'm just going to testify for myself. I will throw a spiritual fit and I will resist. Like, no, this isn't what you meant. I know better. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm going to make you do it. He refreshes what is lifeless, and he cleanses. Spring up, O well. We're not just asking for a sip. We're asking for a river. We're asking for the spring that never runs dry. And every time I thought about this, I thought about Pastor Jeff Spring. Remember when he dug up that pond in his yard? And he's talking about, you know, he's always going to have a fresh spring. Pond full of fish because he got that fresh spring coming up. We're asking for a river that runs wild, that reshapes, and that overflows because he is able. Amen. So that spring up, O well, Numbers 21, verses 17 to 18. This is where we get that spring up, O well. It says, gather the people so I may give them water. And then Israel sang this song, spring up, well, sing to it. So it's nearly the end of Israel's 40-year journey through the wilderness, and this is where we're at right now. The generation that fled Egypt is mostly gone, and they've been wandering for 40 years. And a new generation has come, but one that still carries its parents' sinful patterns. They're still complaining. You know, they still think that they know better, because, you know, the Bible tells us the sins of the fathers follow the generation. Well, unfortunately, it's followed them. And they've said, why have you brought us here to die? We have no food and we have no water. In response, at that point, the chapter before, it says, in response to their complaint, God sends fiery serpents among them. And people began to die. But when they repent, God provided a way out, not by removing the serpent, but by having Moses lift up a bronze serpent on a pole. And whenever they looked at it in faith, they would be saved. And that was a foreshadowing of what Jesus was going to be for us, for them, is he was going to be lifted up on a pole. And all who looked to him in faith was going to be saved. And then not too long after this crisis, God provides water again, and this time not Moses striking a rock. Instead, the leaders of the people dug a well in the wilderness, and the people sang, spring up, O well. Sing it, the well that the princes made, that the nobles of the people dug, let the scepter and with their staves spring up, O well. It wasn't an ordinary song. It was a song of faith rising up in a barren land in the wilderness. They had been wandering around for 40 years. It was dry. They wondered, is this really what God has for me? Is this what he meant when he took us out of Egypt? A declaration. We sing for the living water of Christ, the river of life that flows in us, through us, bringing us salvation, refreshment, and purpose. Because this world is thirsty. And right now, it is looking for anything. Artificial sweetener is what they're going to. It's not quenching their thirst. The devil is out to deceit, to kill, and destroy. And it's with those artificial things that people are falling for. And here it tells us Jesus is the living water that is going to quench that thirst. Amen. In Psalm 23, I know we have a lot of people love this verse. I love this. It's foundational. Good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I have what I need. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He renews my life. He leads me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Only goodness and faithful love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord as long as I live. Amen. Life includes green pastures and dark valleys. And sometimes I think it does the valleys a disservice when we call them dark. Valleys may be a low point, one of the lowest points, right? It's not the peaks and the mountains. But the soil is so rich in a valley than it is on the mountaintop. You get that green. Have you ever seen grass that you just want to take your sandals off and you just want to stand in it? I love that. My backyard doesn't have that kind of grass. So whenever I find patches of that grass, I take off my shoes and I just like to just stand there barefoot in that rich, thick, green grass. And that's the kind of grass that you find in the valley. You can find beautiful flowers and vegetation in a valley too. Because it's in the valley where you're going to have to dig deep. You're going to have to dig your heels down in that soil and stand on the promises of God. And when he says that he is the living water, that's a foundational truth that you have to stand upon. That however deep that valley gets, he is the Lord of the valley and he is the Lord of the mountaintop too. So sometimes I don't like to call the valleys dark, because even though it's like an illusion, because they're hard. Yeah, you've got to trudge through it. But man, when you look back, it is beautiful. It's beautiful to see the faithfulness of God. It's beautiful to see that he loves you so much that he's with you. He never left you. And sometimes we need to be reminded of it. He leads, he restores, he protects in that valley. He prepares a table for us, even amidst our struggles. And again, it isn't a distant God, but a present God who walks, leads, who knows, who provides, overflowing with goodness and mercy. And I remember a commentary when it's talking about the shepherd, and it's his sheepdogs. He sends out his sheepdogs. That is goodness and mercy that chase after us. And we get a glimpse of that this morning with communion. We are not just guests. We are sheep where he has prepared a table for us. He has prepared a place for us. And then we go to John 10. Verse 22, it says, then the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem, and it was winter. Jesus was walking in the temple of Solomon's, and the Jews surrounded him and asked him, how long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly. I did tell you, and you didn't believe, Jesus answered. Then the works that I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you don't believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Our good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. And the voice is not like the other voices in the world, are they? This is a still small voice within us with that Holy Spirit resonating in us. And it's going to be quiet. It's not going to be louder than the other voices because he wants to make sure he gets your attention. Are you going to pay attention? He's not going to demand it. He's not forceful. He's such a gentleman. He wants you longing and he wants you looking and searching. And he doesn't want you to stop until you find it. Because we have a lot of voices clamoring for our attention. And we get distracted. I scroll through. And you know, Google and Facebook, they know how to get me. Because, you know, when I search for something, it just keeps popping up everywhere I look. Like, oh my gosh, grabbing my attention. People and their opinions grab my attention, and sometimes I am my own worst enemy. I do it to myself sometimes too. That still small voice. Who do I say you are? What way do I say you that you should go? I say that you're a child of the Most High God. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. There's nobody like you, the creator of the universe. He created all things, created you with specific things that you would add to his kingdom that only you can do. Are you searching for that? Are you raising that? Are you speaking life into that? He knows. My sheep know my voice. How often are you listening to it to know it? He makes a promise no one can snatch us out of his hand. Have you ever been aware of the enemy trying to snatch you up? Because sometimes it's obvious, and sometimes it's not so obvious. But we can look back and we can see, oh yeah, that was, not today, Satan. Or we need somebody else to say, you know what? I think that might be the enemy. And then sometimes we kind of get defensive when someone points it out, right? Like we think we're good. But see, that's why we have this body of Christ, is because there's been a lot of times you've had to put me in check. And it was rough. And it was hard. And sometimes I threw a spiritual fit and I said, you know what? I'm going to do what I'm going to do. But see, his promise was that the enemy would never be able to snatch us up. And so finally, you loved on me so much, it clicked. I was like, you know, this is not the life God has for me. And you turn it around because Satan can't snatch it. Amen? That is the body of Christ. That is what the church, that is what we are. That is who we are. And that's what we're called to do for one another. And even if somebody says something out of love, you can't just abandon and leave. If somebody upsets you, because you got to look at it and say, you know what? Was it out of love? Was it out of Christ-like love for me? They said that they did that. Because there were several times, and I know there's other people here that could have been mad at Pastor Jeff. I'm telling you, it was tough love. He said it, but he said the hard things to get you to see. He was more worried about your salvation than sometimes you were. And he would say those hard things, wake you up and get you back. And Tina did too. They're both of them, they do it in love. They're full of love. And that holy assurance that the shepherd holds us fast. When we gather at the communion table, we are reminded not only of his sacrifice, but his continuing care and presence. We are reminded that every time we come to the communion table. Amen. And a living water that flows. Acts 9. And this is a good Mother's Day reflection as well. Acts 9, verses 36. It says, in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha. She was always doing good works and acts of charity. And about the time she became sick and died, after washing her, they placed her in a room upstairs. And since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples heard that Peter was there and sent two men to him who urged him, "Don't delay in coming with us." And Peter got up and went with them, and he arrived. They led him to the room upstairs. All the widows approached him, weeping and showing him the robes and clothes that Tabitha had made. And Peter sent them out of the room. He knelt down and prayed, and turning toward the body, said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, saw Peter, and sat up. He gave her his hand, helped her to stand, and he called the saints and the widows and presented her alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord, and Peter stayed for some time in Joppa with Simon, a leather tanner. And we meet Tabitha, a disciple known for her kindness, her generosity, her service. There was evidence of her goodness. The evidence of God's goodness within her, that the widows were presenting to Peter, look what her life has done to our lives. Look how she has served God. Look at how she's cared for his sheep. She used her gifts, her time, her talents, her hands to clothe and care. And when she died, her community grieved. They showed Peter the garments, that tangible sign of love. Oh, what women of faith we have here at this church. The tangible signs of love that you show. And the most important things aren't tangible, because your prayers change lives. Tabitha was not famous or powerful, but her life was a living well. Spring up a well. Her life was a wellspring of good works and charity. And when she died, the community mourned. And Peter, through the power of Christ, raised her up and allowed the gospel to continue to flow. Amen. Spring up a well within my soul. Spring up a well and make me whole. Spring up a well and give to me that life abundantly. And the water of Christ's love is not stagnant. It can't be still within us. It needs to flow. Find ways out to get to other people who don't know the love of Christ, who doesn't know the truth about the gospel. It is a force of nature. Amen. And we have to find that in prayer at the table of grace this morning. So come to the table, not because you must, but because you may. You are being invited to this table. Come, you who are thirsty. Come, you who are weary. Come, you who seek the voice of the shepherd, because you know his voice. Come and be nourished by the living water that flows from Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's pray and prepare our hearts for this time. Beloved Shepherd, you ask us to come, who are thirsty for your grace, hungry for your peace and your rest. We come to the table where the Lamb is our shepherd, where the living water flows and mercy never runs dry. This table is not for the perfect. We would never be able to come. We would never be able to approach it. If that is what your guidelines were, is that we would have to be perfect. But what it is forgiven. We are to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. That is what allows us to approach this table, is your forgiveness. Nothing that we've done, nothing that we have earned. It's not the powerful, but the trust. And we come because of the shepherd. We come because we are hungry. And we remember. You call us to remember the sacrifice of the cross, of your son dying on the cross for our sin. We're called to look at what he's doing in our lives right now, in the present time. And we look forward to what he's going to do and his coming back in glory, where he makes all things new, all things right. You prepare a table before us, even in the presence of our enemies. Anoint us, cause our cup to overflow, and we give thanks to Jesus, our shepherd, our living water, and that by his wounds we are healed, and that you, through the Holy Spirit, that we're not only just gathered at the table, but we're nourished and restored at this table, because of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. So the night that Jesus was betrayed, he gathered the disciples in the upper room, and he raised up the bread, and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat in remembrance of me." And then he took the cup, and he raised it, and he gave thanks. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you. Take and drink in remembrance of me." You don't have to be a member of this church or any other church in order to be welcomed, invited to this table of grace. But what you do have to acknowledge and what you do have to confess is that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die on that cross on Calvary. But then on Sunday morning, he got up out of that grave. He was resurrected. And just like he was resurrected, we can be resurrected from our sin when we come and confess in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And Lord, we just ask that these elements, that this bread and this juice become your body provided for us, given to us, and that the blood poured out, the juice taken, is the forgiveness that we receive from you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Lord, the bread and the cup that nourish us, and your voice is a shepherd that leads us. And may the spirit of the living water rise within us and the love of the Lamb flow through us. Amen. Thank you, women. Thank you, women, for your love, your prayers, your nourishment that you give us in our lives. And go now. Go with the voice of the shepherd, still small voice in your heart. Go with the living water rising in your soul, restoring you, refreshing you, sending you. May Christ's mercy follow you, kindness inspire you, and that you become a wellspring, oh my soul, spring up, oh well, of grace and hope to this thirsty world. Amen. Amen. Thank you.